Julia is the new documentary about Julia Child, a chef and television star who changed the way Americans view their food. In this podcast, we'll talk with the directors Julie Cohen and Betsy West about Julia's life and impact on culture. Julia's influence could even be seen during the lockdown times of the COVID-19 pandemic.
We started making this film before the COVID pandemic started, but we were deep in the edit process while quarantine started, and certainly there grew an obsession among people with staying home, home cooking. Julia Child's cooking in particular became more popular than ever, and it's just a reminder of the importance of what Julia was championing her whole life. Get, you know, the best ingredients you can and stay in your kitchen, make wonderful food, and then serve it to those closest to you. It's a very simple pleasure, but it's actually a fundamental, important pleasure in life.
You know, Julia always said, food is love, isn't it? And that's how she treated it.
Julia Child was born in 1912 in Southern California. Director Betsy West.
Julia was raised in a very privileged, very conservative, and pretty restricted environment. There were expectations. I think she was enrolled in college, in her mother's college, at birth. I mean, that's the way it worked, that she would go to Smith College, and then she would come home, and then she would meet, you know, a banker or a lawyer or somebody and get married and settle down and join a country club. Now, that is a life of privilege, but it's also a very restricted life. And Julia was not a particularly academic person in college. She liked to have a lot of fun. But when she went back to Santa Barbara, where she was brought up, to take care of her father after her mother had died, she really chafed at the idea that she was just going to follow this path, that she was going to marry, and in fact, she was proposed to by a very wealthy guy. She thought, I don't want that. And what happened for Julia is something that I think happened for a number of women, you know, in this era. World War II actually provided an opportunity for escape. You know, a number of women volunteered to go into the military, to either work at home, to go overseas, or the men had gone overseas in the war and they were taking jobs at home. And for Julia, she found an opportunity with the OSS, which is the precursor to the CIA, you know, a spy agency. And she was posted overseas in the Far East, first in Ceylon and then in China. She wasn't a spy. She was an office manager. I mean, a lot of people like to say Julia Child was a spy. She wasn't really. She did work with spies. She had access to classified information. But she was just a very organized person, and she ran offices. And that's where she met Paul Child. And Paul was 10 years older than Julia, and he was a much more sophisticated guy. He was extremely well-read. He knew about art, he knew about culture, and he knew about food. When they were both in China, Paul was taking Julia out to authentic Chinese restaurants. That was really her first experience of that kind of very well-prepared, fresh food. And then when she married Paul, instead of coming back to the States, they moved eventually to France because he was posted there. And that was just an extraordinary opportunity for her because she did discover the saumonier and she discovered French cooking, and that became her passion.
Julia followed her passion and enrolled in a highly acclaimed cooking school in Paris. Directors Julie Cohen and Betsy West.
The Cordon Bleu was a life changer for Julia Child. You know, this is the quintessential French cooking school, which has a legendary and iconic place, known for, I think, the kind of person that you picture when you hear the term French chef. An older, stuffy guy in a white uniform with a big, tall, white hat cooking up classic French cuisine with very heavy sauce on top. Julia bursts into this scene in her 30s in a very different way. She's married to a guy who has a job in Paris. She's fallen in love with French food. She really wants to take it to another level. So she enrolls at the Cordon Bleu, and not in one of their kind of lesser housewife courses. They did have that. They had courses for amateur cooks who were just kind of dabbling in cooking. In fact, they tried to place Julia in one of those courses, and she said, no, thank you. I want to be in a real professional cooking course. So she ended up getting moved into a class that was her and 11 American veterans, GIs, who had post-World War II on the GI Bill, you had access to education, including education in a trade like cooking. So these 11 guys were trying to move into the food world as a way to make a living, and in bursts Julia Child into their class. The teacher of this class is a very old school male French chef, who doesn't really know what to make of this tall lady. Like, clearly he doesn't think she's going to have what it takes to be a great chef. That's just, you know, that a woman just wasn't the French male vision of who could be a great professional cook. Like, everyone understood, like, oh, a woman could be a good cook at home. The French call it, like, the cuisine de bon mama, like, you know, what mama would serve. But basically, Julia ended up winning over this teacher, Max Bouignard, with her skill and her hard work and her willingness to just try again and again and again till she got it right.
Picking up from that, Julia, once she went on television, was a very self-confident person, not afraid to make a mistake, not afraid to figure out how to recover from it, really didn't let criticism bother her. But I think that's because of the more than a decade she spent in France learning her craft. I mean, she was extremely skilled. She was a graduate of the Cordon Bleu, and then she started a small cooking school with two French women, and they started writing their book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. And it is a masterpiece, and it's reflective of how much Julia actually knew. So, you know, someone in our movie talks about Julia could make the most complicated dessert and then just act as if, oh, that was so easy to do, because she really was a great cook. And that all came from those years spent in France, where she really did learn her craft.
Julia Child, Simone Beck, and Louise Berthold spent over a decade writing their cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. It was a clear departure from cookbooks of the time.
In the pre-Julia Child era, cookbooks, big cookbooks, were really not a big thing. It wasn't something publishers were counting on to be a big bestseller. The whole idea of most American cookbooks before Julia was to make the preparation of food as absolutely as quick and as easy as possible, which isn't necessarily going to lead you to great food. There's a book that Betsy will admit to having in her home called the I Hate to Cook book, which we show in our film, and others along those lines. It's like nobody's even saying this is going to be great food. And that's why when Julia, although she and her colleagues were able to get quite a modest advance to start developing this cookbook, once they turned in a big draft that was basically, this really mind-blowingly comprehensive introduction to the world and the art of French cooking. The original publisher was like, oh, no, 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 thanks. I don't think American housewives are going to like this. Like, this is going to be, in fact, that we include the letter in the film, the phrase that's used is like, the home cook, she might be frightened by these recipes. You know, a little bit condescending perhaps, but obviously the joke was on those editors, because when a later editor and a woman, we think not coincidentally, named Judith Jones, kind of championed this book and said to her boss, Alfred Knopf, this book is amazing. It's masterful. It's going to make people at home feel like they've had a course, a comprehensive course at the Cordon Bleu. Like, that book comes out, and all of a sudden, it is a monster hit in a way that cookbooks literally were never going to be the same.
The story of Julia is the story of how women were underestimated at every step of the way. Julia's ability to write a great cookbook was underestimated because the publishers didn't think that American women were up to it. I mean, almost intellectually up to it, that they could handle it. And similarly, Julia going on television was not the act of some executives who said, oh, we're going to make this woman a star. It was really in spite of the executives. It was Julia who had the idea, oh, I'm going on this pretty boring, I've been reading book show, and said, why don't we liven it up with a hot plate? And the initial reaction was, oh, no, no, we don't do that. And she said, well, never mind, but I need a hot plate anyway. Cooks an omelet. And instantly the audience is calling in and saying, who was that woman? We want more of her. And so the station was like, oh, okay, we'll try a couple of shows. And again, instant hit, despite what the executives might have thought. You know, they're paying Julia like $50 an episode. And I think also the story of after Julia is a superstar and really puts public television on the map, they start to push her aside a little bit. She's now in her 70s, and, you know, maybe people want someone younger or whatever it is, but suddenly Julia finds that she's not getting the premier slots across the whole network on public television. And she doesn't take that lying down. It's like, okay, public television, if that's how you feel, I'm going to go and get another job. And so she winds up on Good Morning America and has to really change her whole approach to learn how to show people how to cook something in just a few minutes as opposed to a half an hour, which is what she'd had before. But I think at every step of the way, people underestimate Julia Child, as they often underestimate women, and she just marches on and defies them and comes up with her own solution.
Julia had one clear ally throughout her career, her husband, Paul Child.
Julia and Paul Child had a really moving feminist marriage, a marriage that changed quite a bit over time. You know, Paul was 10 years older than Julia, but more than that, he was a real man of the world at a time when Julia was pretty naive. So when they first got together, he was introducing her to everything, the cultures of the world, great art, photography, music, sex, and the great food. of the world. And she was an eager student, and they had a beautiful relationship. Time passes. His career begins to, with the State Department, begins to falter a bit, frankly. Right around the time that Julia's book comes out and takes off, she becomes a TV, a sort of a rising star. And Paul just decided that he was going to devote himself for the next portion of his life to supporting his wife, not just a supportive partner, but kind of a, almost a career manager. Like, he was behind the scenes on her shows all the time. We've got great images of it. Either he was cleaning utensils or he was prepping the cue cards that they used. And more than that, he's talking her up. He's telling her, you know, encouraging her to ask for more money when that was what was needed. He was just, you know, just an A-plus feminist husband. And to us, that may not be the typical love story that you see in most romantic comedies, but I guess we think maybe it should be. And like, elevating the great love of a powerful woman and her feminist husband feels like a great romantic comedy moment to us.
Their marriage and Julia Savvy are lessons for anyone interested in living a public life.
Julia had a real intuition about how to manage one's image before the age of like kind of heavy-hitting media consultants. Like, Julia's watchword was basically authenticity. Julia managed her image by bounding on TV every week and just being her absolute 100% authentic self. The viewers ate that up, literally and figuratively. The authenticity kind of was the image. The making mistakes when you're flipping over a potato pancake and then laughing it off and then explaining how it's a good thing to make a mistake. Like, that was all part of, like, being a real person was Julia's brand. And like, that's the best way to go. Like, you can manufacture some kind of very complicated image that's not you, and then it becomes hard to maintain. But if you're just being yourself, then you're going to be able to be consistent. And everyone that we spoke to who knew Julia in life, and we actually interviewed a number of people who were quite close to Julia, says that like, the Julia that you saw when you turned on your television for The French Chef was the same Julia that would open her door to you if you were coming over for dinner.
Julia Child was not without her faults, though. The documentary shines a light on her homophobia and evolution past it.
Julia Child came from a generation where many people were, frankly, homophobic. And people around Julia felt that she was homophobic, and she would say some not particularly kind things about gay people almost off the cuff, and not recognizing that her own lawyer, to whom she was extremely close, Bob Johnson, was in fact gay, and everybody else kind of knew it. Julia was blind to it. And when Bob Johnson developed AIDS and told Julia in the 1980s, this really prompted a whole change of heart for Julia. Suddenly she understood that there was a community of people who were suffering. And she supported Bob in his dying days. And then she publicly supported AIDS research at a time when this was not something that a lot of celebrities were doing. This was in 1988. And Julia went out of her way to do benefits to help raise money for AIDS research, to speak out about AIDS research. So, you know, we were really drawn to the story of someone who evolves, who has a change of heart, who does move on and recognize that perhaps they've been intolerant or, you know, even hateful or just wrong in the past, and to, in a way, through her own actions, to make amends for that.
We'll leave the last word on the documentary, Julia, to director Julie Cohen.
We want people to walk out of this theater feeling enlightened, empowered, and starving. Julia's story ultimately has a lot of triumph in it, and it has a lot of joy in it, and of course it has the beautiful food in it. Most of those things we can serve up to you, the food we can't. So we are always advising people that they should make sure when they get their theater tickets that they have a very firm plan for either where they're going to have their dinner reservation afterwards or how they're going to come home and have the ingredients ready to go to cook a meal and eat it.
Special thanks to directors Betsy West and Julie Cohen for speaking with us. And for more information, check out sonyclassics.com. Thanks for listening.